thank you for listening to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Larry Suttle, the preaching minister of over 20 years, weekly instructs and encourages those attending the services at the 10th and Broad Church of Christ in Wichita Falls, Texas. Let's join Larry now for this week's lesson.
You'd be turning to Luke chapter 12, please. Luke 12. I have titled the lesson this morning, the key word is priority. Priority. You may see in that word priority the key word, the root word, prior. Prior. Before. Before anything else, prior. First. Priority means someone or something comes before, comes first. It suggests an orderly arrangement, for one thing. And we know that our God is a God of order, a God of arrangement. And He has instructed us to live our lives by His order, by His arrangement. And it's a vastly different arrangement than anything we'll ever get from anybody in the world. I tell you, it's just amazing how different it is. And it's not for everybody. This thing of being a Christian is not for everybody. I wouldn't encourage everybody to be a Christian because it just won't be for you. Now you say, Larry, that's a funny thing to say for a preacher. Well, I know it. But you know Jesus said that. I know some old boys who wanted to be a disciple, and he said, oh, no, wait a minute. You don't understand. I wouldn't encourage you to be a Christian, or as his word was, disciple. Foxes have holes, birds have nests. I don't even have a place to lay my head. So you better think twice. He wasn't out for numbers. He wasn't out for a large enrollment list. He wanted disciples, and so if he was going to get disciples, he was going to have to level with them exactly what is demanded of a disciple. And it wouldn't be for everybody. It's still not. My prayer is, though, that it's for you. And I assume because you are here this morning that it is for you. That you have made that commitment as we talked about last week. And you are ready to live by the arrangement of God. If you do live by the arrangement of God, then you think of in terms of priority. Priority. Imagine, if you would, your life being composed of 10 blocks. Maybe 10 blocks of wood. Something like that. Just imagine something that represents life in different component parts. Now, the obvious labels we would give to each one of those blocks would be things like work, family, church, school, fun, those kind of things. Well, imagine your life is divided into those 10 blocks of wood, and God calls on you to arrange those blocks of wood. Now remember, there is something that goes before. You're going to arrange them in order, God's order. Now, if those blocks of wood were numbered, as I so wish they would be, it'd be easy to do. Here's one, here's two, here's three, here's four. I can do that. Anybody can do that. The problem is they aren't numbered. It's up to us. I'm amazed at how much freedom God has given us. It's up to us to arrange those blocks in order. Keeping in mind, though, that the block before is a priority over the one that follows. And that one is a priority of the one that follows that one. Priority. The key word is priority. Now, we struggle with that. I do, and I'm sure you do. There are times we feel like we've succeeded in arranging those blocks in a good order. There are other times we're not so sure. There are other times we know they're not in order, but we do it anyway. Why do we do it anyway? Because that's the way the world says do it. You do it this way. And so we give in, maybe in a moment of weakness, maybe in a moment of guilt. We're afraid our children won't have all the opportunities of the kids down the street or other kids in school, and so we don't feel good about it, but we go ahead and do it because we know that that's how people judge good parents. Priority. The key word is priority. Now, the world is ready to tell us what that order will be. I want to thank Alan and all of his young people and support crew also for a great night last night. The sweetheart banquet, or the spring banquet, whatever it's to be called. You know, I attend that thing because I'm the preacher. I don't qualify. I just go to encourage those old people. They need all the encouragement they get. But I have to tell you, I really enjoyed it, even though I don't qualify, and I'm glad to go as the preacher. Well, I bring that up simply to say that by the time a person reaches my age, they will have seen 2 million commercials on television. 2 million commercials. And each one of them is made up, written, filmed by very smart people who know you better than you know yourselves, who have studied for long hours on exactly what pushes your buttons, whether it be guilt or excitement, exhilaration, whatever it is, they know what it is. They have powerful images, catchy music, wonderful humor, and memorable slogans. Oh, they're a lot more adept than any preacher, especially me. But the primary theme of all of those 2 million commercials is this product, whatever it is, will give you satisfaction. You will be happy like you have never been happy before if you buy in to this message. And most of you do. Most of us do. We succumb to those powerful pressures. This past Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday, half the people watched the Super Bowl for the ball game, the others for the commercials. And you know what? Based on the worldview of those TV commercials we saw last week and see continually all through the year, here's how one person has rewritten the Beatitudes of Jesus. Blessed are those who fly to luxury vacation spots on tropical islands, where they lie in chaise lounge chairs, the only two people on an enormous white beach, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are those who drink much beer, for they shall be surrounded by carefree football-watching buddies and highly attractive, socially gifted women in the first half of life, and they shall be satisfied. Blessed are those who have the latest smartphone, for they shall gaze on a screen swirling with color and shall get all the information they need just when they need it, and they shall be satisfied. Blessed are those who have a golden Labrador retriever bounding along on that slow motion video day of playing with the kids in the park. For they shall be the envy of real families everywhere, and they shall be satisfied. Now we know in our heart of hearts especially those of us who've spent a good part of our lives listening to sermons and going to church, we know deep down those things are not correct. We remember, maybe painfully, the words of Jesus that I remind us all of this morning from Luke chapter 12. Let's begin reading in verse 22. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable are you than birds? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider the lilies grow, or how the lilies grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." If I were to summarize that great passage with one word, one key word, it would be prioritize. Priority. Before. That's what Jesus is saying. You need to prioritize earthly treasure over earthly things. And he said, there's a big difference in those two categories. Earthly treasure, rather eternal treasure, earthly things. Big difference. For one thing, the contrast is worry versus trust. If the priority of your life is earthly things, you are going to have worry and anxiety. You'll only have to have pills to correct it. I don't know of anything else that will. If your essence is this world. Because you see, what if you lose it? What if the economy fails? What if there is a depression? What will you do? Every one of us is living on the edge financially. Oh, you may not think you are. You may think you've got enough socked away that you'll get by just very well regardless. I've got news for you. If the wrong thing happens at the right time, you've lost it all. You've lost it all. I don't care if you're a doctor. Don't care if you're a lawyer. Don't care if you're a mighty oil man. It doesn't matter. I remember years ago, the administrator of Texoma Christian Care Center told me that when a person gets old and needs to go to a care home, the richest man in town will eventually be paying for Texoma Christian Care because of Medicaid. Because nobody has enough money to pay what the costs are in today's rest homes or retirement centers. And so, you big guy, full of yourself, got it all made, don't think you're living on the edge, one of these days you'll be sitting on the same bench outside the rest home looking at the traffic go by. Paying for that rest home the same way that little person next to you is paying for it. Medicaid. The state's paying for it. Folks, none of us have enough to pay our own way through it all. You may go a long way, but you don't have enough. There's never enough. There's never enough. Now, on the other hand, if you trust in God, the Bible says there is a peace that passes all understanding. You can't explain it. You don't know why it's there. Your bank account doesn't give you any reassurance, but it's there. A peace that passes all understanding. You see, there's a big difference in the two categories, earthly treasure, or rather eternal treasure, earthly things. And then another contrast that Jesus points out in this passage, unsafe versus safe. If your priority of life is earthly things, you will lose it. You will lose those things. It's not a matter of if, but when you lose it. It'll be a bad economy. It may be greed, like a Bernie Madoff kind of scheme. Or you'll get old, and others will come through your house throwing out or giving away or selling at a greatly reduced cost all of your treasures. You're going to lose it. That's the way it is. On the other hand, if your heart is on eternal treasure, you will take pleasure forever. It's guaranteed. You've sent it on ahead. And the interest on what you have sent ahead is not dollar for dollar. It's much more than that, because God is the inventor of compound interest. You'll get it back many, 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 many times over if your trust is in eternal treasure. Another difference in the two categories: eternal treasure over earthly things. One is temporary, the other is eternal. If the priority of your life is earthly things, it's easy come, easy go. No, I don't mean that as flippantly as we often use that term. Oh, well, easy come, easy go. No, I mean, this is a fact of life. As easy as you got it, it can go. It will be, if nothing else, pride from your cold, dead hands. Investments in eternity? Forever. You'll be enjoying them 10 million years from today, and you'll just be getting started. Big difference. Big difference. There's no comparison. But, having said all that, how do we learn it? I mean, deep down learn it. Not just hear learn it and be able to repeat all the right words. How do we learn it deep down? And then how do we teach it? How do we teach it to our children, those we love more than life itself? How do we teach it? Oh, I tell you, the forces are so great. That's the real question of this hour. How do we learn it? How do we teach it? The priorities of God, the arrangement of God, how One arranges things in the order of their eternal importance. How do we learn it? How do we teach it? Right now, I'm afraid that many of our children get mixed messages from us. They hear what we say, and yet they know what we do. And what we do is not exactly what we say. In fact, it may be radically different from what we say. Now, I apologize. I only have figures for several years ago, but a article in U.S. News and World Report from 2004. So any figure I give, you just ramp it up because we're talking 8 years ago. But these were the newest figures I could come up with. Researchers found that children, even very young children, are significantly targeted and influenced by advertisers. And listen to some of these amazing things, and again, it's more now than it was then. 26%, that's a quarter, of all kids age two and under, have a TV in their room. Advertisers spend $15 billion a year telling them what's hot. The average American child sees 40,000 commercials a year. Children recognize logos by 18 months. By 2 years of age, many ask for products by their brand name, and nothing else will do. And the article went on to reveal that American parents do little to correct the trend. Instead, in maybe an accidental way, they're actually encouraging the trend. Again, I think parents feel guilty or bad. They're bad parents if they don't give their kids what the neighbor kids get or other kids in school. And so good Christian parents are encouraging this trend. American kids get an average of 70 new toys a year. 70 new toys a year. In 1984, notice this contrast, children ages 4 to 12 spent $4.2 billion of their own pocket money. 1984, they spent $4.2 billion of their own pocket money. In 2004, they were estimated to spend $35 billion. Now, how much has that risen in 8 years? Well, I can only imagine. Their own money. In 2004, children were predicted to influence $670 billion worth of parental purchases, both small, that is, which snacks to buy, and large, which SUV to buy. It's amazing. And Christian parents are neck deep in this, just like everybody else. In fact, I'm not so sure that people could tell the difference in you who claim to be Christian and the pagan down the street who makes no such claims in regard to your priorities. What you believe comes before everything else. Well, what do we do? What do church leaders do? What do Sunday school teachers do? What do small group leaders do to help their folks get through this time that is unlike any other time in human history? You know, I look at these statistics and I hear various ones in the church say, oh, we're losing all of our 20s and 30s. And I want to say, really? What do you expect in this age group that is most vulnerable to these pressures. I'm surprised if we keep one, let alone lose 10. Folks, this is serious. And we'll talk about it more in February. It's a good time to do it. Because you see, this is not just about money. This is not just how much you put in the plate on Sunday morning. This comes to the very essence of your life. What is your priority? What comes before everything else? What does the Lord say? And what will you say in response to the Lord? The key word, priority, before.